We have got a great episode of State Your Line for you today. We got to recap Sunday Night Football, Chiefs big win over the Chargers. It is Monday as we're recording this, so World Cup first match for the USA was today. We've got some openings around the city to get to. Danny and I tried a couple of different things this week in Kansas City. And then we're going to talk a little Thanksgiving with our mixed plate. So
it's only fitting.
Only fitting. Welcome into State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans. We are the Ritz Brothers. Today is November 22nd. And, I mean, where to start? Another Sunday night primetime game, another primetime performance by Mahomes. It's just, it's scary how regular it's becoming. And again, we talked about it last week, just the greatness that we see every week from him. It's just incredible, and I'm soaking it all in, truly soaking it all in.
The stat that you're hearing a lot today and that I'm seeing a lot today, Mahomes is 14-0 in road divisional games in his career. He's never lost on the road against a divisional opponent. Why didn't I know this stat when it was like 12-0 and 13-0? Did you know this stat?
Yeah, I knew the stat.
Oh, okay. This is my first time seeing the stat because 12-0 is remarkable. 13-0 is remarkable. 14-0 is remarkable. Now he's 14-0 on the road in divisional games. I don't know. I must have missed that stat, but that's just incredible that in his entire career, which started at the beginning of 2018. That was a long time ago. He's never lost on the road in the division, which is just incredible.
And the fact that we've won 25 straight, I think now, November and December games, which again.
Did you know that stat? When it was 23 last year? Like,
no.
I feel like some of these stats, again, we have to find ways to explain Mahomes' greatness because just over week after week, over and over, saying like he's the best in the NFL, it kind of gets boring. And I kind of get why these talking heads on ESPN like have to say like Tua's MVP or Josh Allen might be MVP or Jalen Hurts might be MVP because it really does. I mean, we have a show for 1 hour once a week that we spend 10 minutes talking about the Chiefs and we're already like, what can you say?
How else can you
like,
contextualize
Mahomes
it?
Is the greatest. We have to appreciate it. We have to take it all in. And one of the things we talk about at the beginning of every single season is how we're so excited for new Mahomes highlights because I've seen every Mahomes highlight so many different times because I watch YouTube hype videos before games and I see him on Instagram after the games and I see him on Twitter before the games and I love new highlights in this game.
There's new highlights.
Gave us some, but I mean the throw to Fortson and this is going to be one of those games where in 5 years we're going to see some of these highlights and be like, man, like, what was going on that week? Like, why did none of our star players, other than Travis Kelce, obviously, why were none of our big-time receivers catching balls in this game? Well, it was because they were hurt, and that didn't matter. Mahomes continues to dominate without Juju, without McColl, where Justin Watson led all position players in snaps. He was on the field more than Travis Kelce. He was on the field for 88% of the snaps. Sky Moore, I think, led the team in targets other than Travis. Fortson had some big plays, and it was just one of those, like, take away some of our most reliable weapons and the new savior, Tony, and Mahomes still gets it done. Obviously, he has the greatest tight end in the history of the NFL to throw to. And so, you know, that is always part of it. But, you know, hitting those big throws to Sky Moore, massive, massive catches, massive play to Fortson.
Huge play to Justin Watson.
Huge play to Justin Watson on third down. Mm-hmm. Again, another big play for him. It's just Mahomes being Mahomes and this team just really, I can see why it'd be easy for a role player to come in and be like, yeah, I can do this because I have Mahomes throwing me the ball. Mm-hmm. And so the confidence for those guys who don't get a lot of snaps or aren't big names has to be through the roof because they're like, I can do this. I've got Mahomes throwing me the ball. And it's like, if you have a job and you're working with someone and like, let's say you're doing a project at work, whatever your work is, and like the greatest ever at that comes in and decides to tag team the project with you, you're going to have so much confidence going mm-hmm. into that project because you've got the best person at your company. No, the best person in the history of your career path doing the project with you. And that's what these guys have. And so it's just, you got to have a ton of confidence when you're those guys, and that's why they make plays. And all of that leads to beating the Chargers, who are always frisky against us, mm-hmm. always beating them in a big, massive game that we didn't need to have, but it certainly helps a lot to have that dub. So
yeah, to get to amazing 8-2 versus the Chargers at 5-5, where it could have been flipped. Big swing as far as taking control of the division. And it's weird because Mahomes started 11-22 to start the game, and then
I didn't know that.
Finished 9-12 afterwards mm-hmm. from that point on. So it's just like he was really, really good, I thought, in the first half. And then
had some drops,
just another level when it really counted. Mm-hmm. So it's insane how he turns it on. I actually thought Andy Reid managed the clock well at the end of the game.
I was nervous he wasn't going to.
Very, very nervous he wasn't going to call a timeout after the 2-minute warning.
Yeah. He should have called it before the 2-minute warning.
He should have called it before the 2-minute
warning.
But it
all worked out for him.
It worked out. I don't know if they were, I don't think they were going to let the Chargers score either.
Mm-hmm.
I think they get in that situation. They think we can hold them to three.
Yeah. Andy Reid's never going to be the type to let them score, I don't think.
I don't think they did there, but at least he took the timeout to give Mahomes a 1:46 and 2 timeouts to go win the game. And hey, that was a good idea.
Yeah.
Put the ball in Mahomes' hands.
Yeah, the defense stepped up. The defense played really well. I think, did they only have 7 points in the second half?
Yep.
10? Wait, how does it sound?
They had 7 points in the second half.
Okay.
They scored 20 in the first half. Yep.
Yeah. And so defense stepped up huge. Chris Jones.
He's a superstar.
Is amazing.
He's a superstar.
So good at his job and what he does. And he just wrecks games.
He's smart. He's just more talented than everybody. And then that play where on the 2-minute drive to win the game for the Chargers,
mm-hmm.
Or I guess they started with 30 seconds.
Yeah.
To see that Herbert was going to run a draw that play, which probably would have worked because we were in man-to-man and it would have been similar to what Mahomes did on the previous drive.
It looked like it was going to work.
And there's Chris Jones,
mm-hmm.
Which was incredible. I love the defensive line on third and long.
Yeah, the Karlaftis at the nose.
Yeah, I love that. Moving Karlaftis and Mike Dana inside, letting Chris Jones and Dunlap rush from the outside, or Frank Clark. But bringing in just speed pass rushers, 4 or 5 of them, I love doing that. And it worked a couple times, especially with Mike Dana up the middle, which was really, really fun to see the defense work like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just when in prime time, under the lights, everyone's watching, to have your three best players dominate the game like that with Mahomes, Kelce, and Chris Jones. It's just like, yeah, this is why, you know, as much as Mahomes can get a lot of things done, this is why you need to have stars on your team. This is why you need to have just people at certain positions that dominate. I think that on top of, you know, Jones playing well on the defense, I thought Bolton and Gay both played good. Bolton had a couple of bad penalties, but overall, I thought he played really good. Gay is an extremely important part of this defense. McDuffie and Snead are really good. The safeties, I'm officially worried about the safeties. Mm-hmm. I haven't really seen a ton of like really good play. Thornhill has been like really up and down. He's had a couple really good games and he's had a few stinkers. And Justin Reed is, you know, I think probably playing at a pretty mediocre average level. So a little worried about the safeties, but I feel really good about Jones, Bolton, Gay, McDuff, and Snead on the defense. And so those are important high leverage positions, and well, we'd love a safety to be playing mm-hmm. a little bit better, but still, that's and an edge defender, I guess, if we're getting picky. But we're fourth in the NFL in sacks. I think we have the most, or we're tied for the most with Tampa Bay as far as the percentage of our snaps coming from the defensive line, which kind of surprised me because I know like Snead has a couple of snacks and sacks and
Big Mac sacks.
And Gay had one and Chanel has had one and whatnot, but our defensive line is getting a good majority of those sacks, which is nice. And we're just the Chargers always play us tough. It doesn't matter how good the Chargers are playing in a given portion of the season or in a given year. The Chargers always play us tough, and we had enough. We were better than them. We beat them. It showed. Brandon Staley is a broken man. I don't know what has gone on with that guy.
Did the game last year break him? How many times he went for it on fourth down against us?
I don't know. But he's completely broken.
I know. The fourth and inches up four that he didn't go for it on. And not just that it was fourth and inches. We couldn't stop a quarterback sneak. Like that play worked every time. Uh-huh. So for them not to just line it up and do that, I was like, again, thank you for not doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking.
Hey, he's just handing us some, like last year. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. The Chargers are just infect people. Like it's insane how hilarious and how awful it would be to be. It's hilarious from our point of view, but how awful it would be to be a Chargers fan. That would be a difficult existence. But yeah, the Chiefs were better. They deserve the win, and 8-2 control. Firm control of the AFC West for a seventh straight divisional title, which is just insane to think about considering the majority of our lives, we just lived in that mediocrity and we lived for a wild card playoff berth and we lived for, one division title every 4 years or 5 years. And now it's seven in a row. It's looking like, first place in the AFC. We've got a very favorable schedule. We play the Texans. We play the Rams. We play
the Broncos twice.
We play the Raiders again. Basically, the Bengals is the only game where we might not be. Yeah.
Oh, favored?
We might not be 7-point favorites.
Yeah.
Like, I bet we're 6 to 7-point favorites on the road against Seattle. I bet on the road against
Seattle at home.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah. So we're going to be like 8-point favorites there. We're going to be 7-point favorites for every game going forward.
We'll probably be favorites in Cincinnati, too.
But, yeah, we will
but
be.
But one score.
Yeah, probably 4.5 or something. But regardless, very favorable schedule. I would love to go 14-2. That'd be or 15-2. That'd be a lot of fun. I want the number one seed. I want to do what it takes to get the one seed. I want that. I want all the home playoff games again. I don't want to play in the first round. I want the one seed. It'd be great to take a week off too.
Would be. All right. So that'll
see you at the tailgate. We're going. We're back at Arrowhead this weekend.
Back at Arrowhead.
I think it's gonna be a great tailgate. Have you seen the weather? Let me see.
Yeah, I hope there's a lot of people in town coming to their one game of the year.
Lot G,
because
baby.
They're back in town. So come to Lot G. Come say hi. The weather's supposed to be decent.
I think in the
40s or so.
Yeah, 46 and sunny, baby.
That's all you need. Like that's sweater weather right there. Yeah. So and then bring your jacket into the game with you and you'll be good.
You'll be perfect. That's going to be a great tailgate. So, really looking forward to Lot G on Sunday.
All right. Also today, like we said, we had the World Cup first match, USA versus Wales. And it's kind of a, hey, look, there's KC, because you knew it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Shots of power and light in between commercial breaks where it's packed. Everyone's celebrating, going crazy. It's why the World Cup's coming here.
Yeah. So. I was thinking about this. It's kind of also the opposite of, hey, look, there's KC, because I couldn't find a single connection Kansas City has to the World Cup this year. You know what I mean? There's no, I don't think there's any players from Sporting. I don't think there's any players who were born in Kansas City. I don't think there's any, I haven't seen a single thing that's like Kansas City's connection to the World Cup. And we
searched for it in the Olympics, and we had some.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We had athletes at the Olympics, and Kansas City will always have stories about like their connection to the team, to the major event, whatever. I don't think there's any. So get our crowd shots in. Obviously, we're hosting the next World Cup, so that's our connection. That's all the connection I care about. But yeah, draw. But unfortunate draw. Sucks to draw a game that you dominate for the majority of the game as far as possession, and just we look like the much better team. But the encouraging thing is we look like a team that was actually really good, and a team that can compete with England, and a team that will be heavily favored against Iran. So I thought we looked way better than I thought we were going to look. We looked like a real team that has been playing together for a long time. We did not look like a young, inexperienced team, which is what we are on paper. We're the second youngest team. I think all but one guy has World Cup experience on the team. And so we are extremely inexperienced and young, but we really did not look that way at all. And so I was encouraged by, you know, how good we looked. And so it's definitely harder to get in to the knockout stage after a draw today, but I'm encouraged by the way we looked. And so that's a positive I'll take away from it.
All right.
Plus, it's fun watching big soccer games at a bar, in a bar, is such an amazing experience.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, Kansas City's bought in to that at the bar scenes. I saw a lot. I mean, you were at Brookside.
I was at Brookside.
I saw a lot of places, not only at Power and Light, where every TV's on that game.
Mm-hmm.
And people are, you know, well, this week, no one's really working, but
one of my favorite things about
people are finding a way to get out there and watch. So Friday, England, USA.
Mm.
What time is that game? Do you know?
1 o'clock.
Is it 1 o'clock too?
Every game's at one.
It's going to be incredible.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Have that like right in the middle of the awesome college football that's on Friday. Just that this week, it's a great week.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great week for sports.
All right, let's get into some openings around Kansas City. First up, we've got the District Biscuit. This started as a pop-up shop, I think, years ago on 63rd Street. And then I think they moved out kind of by the stadium. They had a location out there. And then now we've got one coming to North Kansas City.
Yeah, so it closed in 2020 due to the pandemic, the location out by the stadium. But it started in 2017 as a pop-up, like kind of before pop-ups were cool, or mm-hmm. at least like ghost kitchens weren't really a thing back then, but it was a pop-up. It's owned by Hakeem Khalifa, also known as Chef Gros. How are you saying that?
Gros.
Yes, Chef Gros, G-U-R-O-U-X. He's the proprietor of this, and yeah, it started as a pop-up. He was making these amazing-looking biscuit sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, incredible biscuits, and then it closed down, but now he's got new partners, and they opened up a permanent location in North Kansas City on Burlington Road. They've got a bunch of biscuits named after like different locations, different neighborhoods in Kansas City, and it looks amazing. I love the way this thing looks.
I had some friends go, I think, to the one out in Independence and said good things about it.
Okay.
They look, I mean, it's food porn mm-hmm. also there.
To the max.
So, would be a good spot to cure hangover is what it looks like.
Ooh.
For sure.
I like that.
All right. Also opening, this one is in...
Oh, that's Biscuits with a K too.
District
if
Biscuit.
If you're searching for it. District B-I-S-K-U-I-T-S. District Biscuits.
Also, we've got opening another spot in the Parlor Food Hall. Is this the one?
Nope. No.
They had a spot there.
They have a spot.
They have a spot there, but now they're getting a standalone spot in Westport.
Yeah, we've talked about this a long time ago, but it's finally open. So we talked about it like this summer when they announced that they were opening a permanent location in Westport, but it's called Chingu. It is a Korean street food restaurant. It's really focused on like that Korean street food style and homemade soju. So soju is like a distilled Korean alcohol, usually around like wine proof. Mm-hmm. It's clear, but it's usually between like 13% and 20% alcohol content. So they're making all their homemade soju, and yeah, Korean street food, Westport. The owner, Ki Young Kim, is the owner and chef of Chingu, and they operate Sura Eats, which is in Parlor. Sura Eats, I think we both had it.
Sura Eats is really good.
Mm-hmm. You had it, right? Did
yeah,
you just talk about it?
I didn't just have that. I had Ting's Filipino Bistro,
yeah.
But I've had that spot in Parlor before.
Yes.
It's really, really
Sura
good.
Sura Eats, yeah. So this is their permanent restaurant.
Awesome food.
Yeah, this is going to be, again, in Westport, like right on the same side of the street as Harpo's, just like a couple doors down from Harpo's on Pennsylvania right there. This has jumped to the top of my list. I always had my eye on it, like waiting for it to open. It opened mid-November, top of my list.
All right. We've also got a new cocktail bar coming to downtown Mission,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, already home to a couple great bars, including the Keyhole Tavern.
Never been.
get your membership.
Yep.
Get your yearly membership. And now it's got the Primrose is the new bar opening up. Close to Knoll and Johnson Drive.
Knoll and Johnson Drive, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know why everyone's obsessed with Primrose.
Just the name?
Yeah. There's a lot of things named Primrose.
Yeah.
So this is called the Primrose. I looked it up. A primrose is a flower, a yellow English flower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is a fancy cocktail bar. Abby Hans is the owner. Her brother owns a board game store on the same block.
Okay. Yeah. It's attached to one of the coffee shops on Johnson Drive.
Okay.
Uh-huh. It's a cool spot. You can go in there and play games.
There's just like all those shops on Johnson Drive where they're just like little tiny shops. And mm-hmm. I feel like I would have to park and just like walk it in order to really get familiar with it. Because when I go to Downtown Mission, it's usually just like Sully's or the Peanut. And I don't like do that walk, which is a little further west of like all those tiny little shops.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to do that. Like Sand Hills Brewing is right there. But yeah, this is the Primrose. It looks like it's open now. Cocktail bar, really cozy lounge, really cozy seating area. It looks like its hours are like 4 to 11. So yeah, this looks really good. I mean, the cocktail menu looks pretty good as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like a good spot to try something new, for sure. All right, I think that's all we've got opening this week. Next up, we got a little what we tried this week. This week, I tried hummus and pita. It is on Santa Fe and 79th Street in the old home of the Snack Shack on Santa Fe.
You said it right.
Yeah. Said what right? Right.
Remember yesterday you were telling me about that? And you couldn't say Snack Shack?
Snack Shack.
You couldn't say Snack Shack on Santa Fe to say
Snack Shack on Santa Fe.
Nailed it.
It's in the old Snack Shack on Santa Fe. So that small, it was a six-stool diner. Now they've got a pretty small dining area, but definitely enough for a group of four or to six to sit down in there and probably five or six tables. So a cool spot to go into. They've got the chicken shawarma going on the big skewer spinning and rotating. Mm. So that's what I got. I got the chicken shawarma because that's what the guy who owns the place told me and recommended. It was really, really good. If you've ever eaten at Sinbad's on 83rd and Metcalf.
Is that still there?
It's still there.
Are you sure?
Yeah. The guy told me there was a breakup between the people running it, and now he has started this own restaurant at Hummus and Pita now.
So okay, Sinbad's isn't there anymore?
It's still there.
I don't know.
It's still there. I just drove by. It's still there. But because I most recently ate at Hummus and Pita, I'm taking Hummus and Pita's side.
Okay, okay, good.
Of the breakup.
Okay, so, okay, good to know.
I don't know if there's any bad blood or anything, but I'm just taking the Hummus and Pita side. Because one, the chicken shawarma was incredible. And I just love that it's that big ball of meat rotating and just taking some slivers off that. It was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the best hummus I've ever had before. It's homemade.
Sure.
It's buttery. It's delicious. The pita is soft. It's also really, really good. So get a sandwich. Make sure you get some hummus as well with some pita because, again, this hummus was unbelievable. So, so good.
Mm. That sounds really good.
And they've got a euro. So I think you need to get there and put it on your
tiers. That's why I thought Sinbad's was closed because Sinbad's was on my euro list, like places I need to try.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought last time I Googled them, it was closed.
Okay.
But it looks like it's open. I just Googled it again.
So check out this place. I think you need to check it out. It seems legit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I will. It's close too. It's very convenient.
Yeah.
All right. Because I'm running out, like, of course, like out of the 12 that I've been to, I went to the most convenient one. So I'm running out of convenience. This week, I tried a few things. Studio Dan Miners for a wedding. We went to an amazing wedding this weekend.
Yes.
Our cousin. Congrats, Sammy and Allie. And it was fun. That's where I had my reception. And so it was fun seeing it on the other side. Got back to Black Hole Bakery, old B-Hole Bakery.
Yeah.
Hadn't been there in a while. I put that on Instagram. Wait, did I post those pictures?
No.
Wow. Yeah, I forgot to post
some
them.
Good ones, though.
Yeah, got some good pics. Those kimchi donuts are just out of bounds. And then I was
kimchi,
down.
Kimchi, you mean like.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, kimchi donuts.
Oh, I thought they were called like nochi or something. I think kimchi is.
Oh, it's mochi or mochi. Yeah,
yeah. Kimchi is fermented
is it
cabbage.
Like tea? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So a little bit different than
that
the
you would like put in
mochi
a,
or yeah. mochi. Yeah, donuts.
Mochi Japanese donuts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with a rice flour. Very good. Those are. And then I was down in Northwest Arkansas as well. Got a place called the Peddler's Pub. Amazing pizza. If you're in Bentonville, Northwest Arkansas, downtown Bentonville, the Peddler's Pub was really good. Incredible wings, incredible pizza. I was very impressed. It was a Thursday night. It was crowded. Great beer, great pizza, great wings. Like, that's all you can ask for. They're obsessed with biking in Northwest Arkansas and like Bentonville.
Yeah.
Everything is built around biking and mountain biking, and they're addicted. They're addicted.
Oh, that's how it sounds. Yeah. And I feel like then what comes with it is like getting your bike or your gang to a restaurant for like a nice little patio, mm-hmm. something like that. By biker gang, I mean bicycle.
Yeah,
gang.
People, old guys in mm-hmm. really tight, revealing outfits. Yep. They just like they don't they just wear those to the bar.
Yeah,
they don't change at all. Like, throw on some shorts, bro, or throw on a t-shirt or something.
Like a long t-shirt.
They that'd be hilarious. Just
like went a sorority in,
like
girl.
Like a long tee. Yeah, that just like just goes up mid thigh. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
that needs to start in cycling. That needs to become a trend because these old guys that go to the bars after their run and they've got like the shirt unbuttoned like halfway down their torso, and everything's just way too tight. It's like we get it. You bike, we get it. You don't need to be wearing that out in public anywhere ever. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see. Next up, we've got a did you know, Casey? We're going to learn something again today about policing on state line roads.
Well,
Like, what are the actual rules?
What are the rules?
Because I feel like you always hear stories like, well, you know, maybe if you get caught speeding on state line, just, you know, if it's a Missouri cop, veer into Kansas, vice versa. Any of those rumors true?
No. Oh,
dang it.
So I've always wondered this, and I'm surprised I've never looked it up or just like, talk to a cop, but Kansas City Magazine it did interview a cop and put out a story about some of the rumors or the myths about driving on state line roads since it is a unique situation. If you are speeding or if you are drinking and driving or doing anything else illegal, and a cop that's on the Kansas side pulls out to pull you over, you can't just turn into the Missouri side and not get pulled over.
They can follow you over.
They can follow you into Missouri for sure. Missouri cops can follow you into Kansas. They can book you for a ticket, whatever. But if they have to arrest you, they do have to hold you and wait until a Missouri cop comes to take you. Because
Become a federal case?
If you get arrested in Missouri, you have to stay in a Missouri jail, and you have to see Missouri
courts.
Even
if you committed the crime in Kansas.
Correct. Like, if you try to pull off into Missouri, the Kansas cop can follow you into Missouri, and then if it's like a charge where they need to hold you, you do have to go to a Missouri jail. But the Kansas cop just waits there for Missouri cop to come and take you to jail. So that's not going to save you by any means. The cops cannot bring you back over state lines, so they can't like extradite you back to Kansas if they pull you over in Missouri. But you're not going to escape the cops by turning over to the other side of the state line. So just don't get pulled over.
Mm-hmm. Don't do illegal things.
It's a good one.
That too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Interesting. And also it says the state line is truly right down the middle of state line road. That's confirmed.
No, not in South Kansas City. It's a little off.
Oh, okay. Well, part of the state line is literally right down the middle of the state line road. Okay. Farther you go south, it's actually all in Missouri.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So I assume, but I don't know how far south.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say because it's pretty straight. Like, I'm thinking, like, 435 to 135th is what I think of as South Kansas City. But that's pretty straight.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where, but at 135th, it does get really, like, it gets wacky, and I don't know where State Line Road goes from there. But so I don't know what exactly he means and how far south that cop means when he says that. But I guess I have to investigate it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to.
All right. Next up, you've got a personal pine tar this week.
Oh yeah, big one.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an attached two-car garage at our house, which is very nice. We're very fortunate to have it in Brookside. Like very, very lucky that that our house has that. But it's fall. There's a lot of leaves on the ground. It's fall. It's windy. And our garage door has sensors. And I swear to God, it's going to drive me insane because every time I'm closing the garage door, the wind blows and it blows leaves through the sensor and the sensor reacts and the garage door pops back open. And I have to stand there and try to just, there's nothing you can do because if leaves start going towards the sensor, you can't kick the leaves out of the way because then your kick will set off the sensors. So really, I have my leaf blower that sits right by the garage door, basically. Like, I don't have the leaf blower hanging up. I set it basically on the ground right by the closing big garage door. And so I'll blow the leaves away from the sensors as best I can, hit the button, and just pray that no leaves go over it. It's been horrible the last few weeks. I have to open and close my garage many times, and the sensors, just they need to be able to pick up leaves, or they need to get better. Something needs to get better with the sensors because it is driving me absolutely insane.
Sounds like you need to rake your yard,
Kevin. not appropriate. Not the right thing to say.
Have you gotten your leaves taken out of the neighborhood yet? Or are you still waiting for December 1st?
Yeah, still waiting for December 1st. Okay. Yeah, so our leaves are still sitting on the side of our house. I'm not going to rake my drive. I mean, leaves fall all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got leaves in my driveway at all times, no matter if I raked 2 seconds ago or raked 2 weeks ago. So raking's not going to solve my problem, Kev.
Okay.
But thank you for the suggestion.
Just a suggestion.
Yeah.
Just a little suggestion, because I don't have a personal pine tar this week. Things are so good. All right, let's move on to our mixed plate. It is Thanksgiving week, so let's talk about Thanksgiving traditions.
Mm.
We've got our mixed plate of our favorite Thanksgiving traditions. Mine are super specific. I can't wait to get into them. And I get to go first.
Yes.
So let's see. What do I want to go with? Meat number one here, my favorite Thanksgiving traditions. I'm going to start with food. It's skipping all the white meat, only dark meat.
Yep.
Like, you're not going to find any white meat on my plate. I'm all dark meat. I love grabbing the wing, too.
Oh, it's my new, a good new thing,
because a lot of people are, like, a little scared, maybe, to be that guy. I'm not. It's got skin on it, which is always really good, too, and it's dark meat. So, always going for the wing. So, skipping all the white meat, I love doing that.
Yeah, nice. All right, my meat number one here, I'm going with... I just love that it's just such an easy work week. Like I love that kind of the whole week you're just kind of cruising. You haven't really put things on your work calendar much all week. Everyone's kind of, a lot of people are on vacation. A lot of people take the whole week off. Work is just a very easy work week. You can get things done that you've been putting off for a while. You can, do some busy work that you need to get done. There's not a lot of meetings. It's a relatively easy work week. I love that it's on Thursdays. Like other holidays, you have to, like 4th of July and Christmas, you have to plan New Year's Day. You have to plan, like, well, if it's on a Tuesday, this is kind of what it's going to be like. If it's on a Monday, if it's on a Friday, it's on a Thursday. Every year, the week is the same every single year. I just love how all of that works with the easy work week being on a Thursday. That just wipes out the whole week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I wish every holiday was just like the third Thursday.
I agree.
Or the first Monday, or the last Friday. And that way it always just extended weekends.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice.
I would take it. Every holiday should be on a Thursday. How about that?
And we get 2 days for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Really 2.5 because you're not working Wednesday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. True. True. All right. Let's see. My meat number two here. Let's see, where do I want to go? It's got to be the drinking as much as you want Wednesday night. Nothing to do Thursday morning.
Turkey trot.
Unless you're a turkey trot person, which I'll shame you. if you are. I've done one turkey trot. It was miserable. I was so hungover, so I wouldn't recommend it. But no one has to work on Thursday, really.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of people get the day off, so Wednesday night, you know, let loose, have some fun. And in our younger days, it used to be like everybody was back in town,
mm-hmm.
and it was everybody and their mom was at Kelly's on Wednesday nights. I miss those days, but still, let loose Wednesday night.
Yeah, I mean, we have a really fun Wednesday night tradition in our house. At our parents' house, my mom makes spadini. So she does chicken spadini on Wednesday night. It's like the best meal of the year. That's such a fun night. Wednesday night is mm-hmm. definitely a favorite. All right, meat number two for me. Oh, we should have built like a turkey mix plate.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back. Dark meat is our meat number one.
Yeah.
White meat is our meat number two. You can pick your own sides. All right, white meat for me is, I'm saying like the family time with no presents needed. My mm-hmm. favorite thing, the reason why I like Thanksgiving over Christmas is you don't have to Christmas shop. You don't have to make Christmas cookies. You don't have to decorate your house. You can just do all the good things about Christmas without having to do the bad things. And that's what Thanksgiving is.
Oh,
it's
wow.
eating really, really good food. It's drinking. It's being with friends and family. It's quality time, not working. And
it's always pushed up against a weekend.
Yeah. And so Christmas, you have to buy presents and decorate your house. Dude, personal pine jar. I was trying to put up Christmas lights yesterday and I wanted to just jump off the roof. But, you know, you don't have to do any of that for Thanksgiving. You can just relax and eat and watch football and spend time with your family and just be there. So that's one of my favorite things and my favorite tradition.
That's deep. That's good, though. All the good things of Christmas without the bad things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see. My, what should I call this? My green bean casserole is passing on the green bean casserole every year. There's no room for that trash on my plate. There's no room for cranberry sauce either, especially if it's coming out of a can all wiggling. Ocean Spray promotes that now.
I know.
They lean into that goop just moving around like flubber on the dinner plate. They're mm-hmm. leaning into that. That's gross. Keep it off my plate. I don't allow for room for green beans or cranberry sauce on my plate. The real estate is precious on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not meant for vegetables, really,
okay.
on Thanksgiving. Not for me.
It's a shame because GBC's my goat. All right, my green bean casserole, aka side number one, truly. Mm-hmm. I'm going with college football.
Mm.
I love, I'm going with football in general. I'm taking football. I love football just being on and being background noise for those family gatherings. It's just something to put on the TV. You know, a lot of times it's not great games.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it can be crappy games. This year, I hate the Patriots. That's not going to be a fun game. Like the Patriots, they're like one of the least aesthetically pleasing teams to watch mm-hmm. in the NFL right now.
And primetime Kirk Cousins.
And against the Vikings, yeah, Kirk Cousins. You know, Bills, Lions yep. might be entertaining. I think it could be
a lot of points. That would be fun.
Cowboys, Giants. I don't know. But like, it's just, I don't care about the quality. I love that it's just there. It's on. It's background noise. Can check in. Can start an argument with someone randomly about something that happens in an NFL game. College football on Friday. You know, Mizzou always plays Arkansas the day after. There's a lot of rivalry games. Again, there's so many options on Friday to just choose, pick a game, have it on, and, you know, have an excuse to open a beer at 11:30. In the morning, and yeah, it's I love that football is a part and a tradition of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I love that pick. That's a good one. And then let's see, what's my side number two is my, I don't know, my pumpkin pie, if you will.
Well, that's a dessert.
Well, I know, but it's my yams.
Okay.
Side number two is the yams.
Okay.
It's not going to the plaza to watch the lights turn on.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The plaza lights are fun to look at, but it is very anticlimactic to have them turned on. So no need to go down to the ceremony. I'm fine with just staying at home. If you want to get a free show Tuesday night, tonight, as you're listening to this, go to the Plaza after midnight, and they're going to test them.
People forget.
So you go take a sneak peek.
Yeah. I mean, I work on the Plaza. I have my office faces the Plaza. So I see him literally every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Aren't you lucky?
Side number two for me, those are my mashed potatoes. I'm going with USA versus England.
Mm-hmm.
A tradition unlike any other. It's just perfect. It's perfect. I know that the World Cup should have been, you know, in the summer. I know there's a lot of issues with the World Cup, but the fact that USA plays England on the Friday after Thanksgiving at 1 p.m. is just like, it's a gift, and we should cherish it, and it's amazing. And like I said, I think we look good. I think we can compete. The team that played today can compete with England. And yeah, it was just... it was just a gift that we got that at one on the Friday after Thanksgiving. I can't wait to get really excited and just, you know, what Thanksgiving is and the tradition from where it began to be USA versus England. The fact that they, you know, randomly got in the same pool together and all that stuff. And this is the game day. It's just, it's a gift of timing and coincidence and maybe not, you know, most things with FIFA are usually rigged or bribed for. So, don't come for me. So, you know, it probably wasn't coincidental or random, but I love it. I'll take this gift. It's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Things I left off my list, overloading on the gravy like that. Yep. That's, I get that last cause it's going on everything on top of my plate. Unbuttoning your jeans cause you're so full.
Love that.
Just got to undo a button. Pretending to like pumpkin pie. It's okay. And I'm a big pumpkin guy, but pumpkin pie, just okay, in my opinion.
Yeah.
What else do I have? I mean, rolls, just carb loading.
Love rolls. Love stuffing my face without any guilt. Love the weather. I love like fall Thanksgiving weather. Yeah, I think you said it all.
Okay.
I mean, right. Yeah, that's it.
Perfect. All right. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody and your families. Thanks for listening. We're thankful for you guys as listeners.
Oh, good one.
This year.
So, nice. Thanks. We should have done a things we're thankful for. Mixed bite.
You want to start one right now?
No.
Just riff off the top of our heads?
I don't.
Maybe next week when we get back. all right. That'll do it for us this week. Be sure to follow us on social media at State Your Line, and we'll see you around Kansas City.